the days of my life. Next week, we will deal with the last statement in this psalm. But what beautiful, beautiful words. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you to speak to us and touch us. Let us feed on these wonderful, wonderful promises. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, touch me and help me, Lord. And anoint me, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. You can be seated tonight. Hallelujah. I had surgery on my right eye this week. LASIK surgery, cut a cataract out of my eye and replace the lens that God put in there with a new lens. And so this is my first attempt to be able to try to read tonight without glasses. I am so glad that I believe I'll never have to wear these glasses again. It seems to have improved my vision for a while. But anyway, the Lord has been good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, back to the serious and beautiful. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Throughout this study of Psalms 23, we have shown through each statement made the beauty of the great care of the Lord being our shepherd. It is unbelievable how much Jesus loves us. It is beyond our imagination how closely he watches over us and keeps us. Every statement that is used in this Psalms 23 seems to be like a beautiful string of pearls. Every statement has such meaning and such beautiful promises. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. We have found out in this series of lessons that sheep are very dependent upon the shepherd. There's no other livestock in all the world that has worse problems taking care of their situations than sheep do. Sheep cannot be left to themselves without becoming very poor in health and failing to survive. But truly the Lord is our shepherd. All the benefits of being a part of this good shepherd's fold are vividly portrayed in this beautiful psalm. I'm going to run over it just very quickly. Because the Lord, which translates Jehovah, the everlasting one, the self-sufficient one, the most prominent name of God in the Old Testament, the Lord, is my shepherd. Because he that can do all things is my shepherd, my provider, the one that protects me, my manager. Because he is exactly that, I shall not want. One translation says, I shall not want for anything. I want to tell you, when we get connected with God and we're living pleasing before the Lord, and 100% we put our faith and confidence in Him instead of ourself, then we will have no want whatsoever. I'll tell you when we get in trouble. We get in trouble when we start trying to manage our own business and fight our own battles. One passage of scripture in the Sermon on the Mountain says, agree quickly with thine adversary while thou art in the way with him. When somebody attacks you, when someone accuses you, when somebody wants to engage you, don't allow people to pull you down to their level. Hallelujah. The Bible says you'll end up getting a big mess when you try to justify yourself or glorify yourself. You just put things in God's hands. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We found out that there's four requirements that must be met if sheep are going to be able to lie down. Because of their nature, they have problems being comfortable and feeling comfort. And so there's things that have to be met. They've got to be free from fear. Hallelujah. They've got to be free from tension. They claim when the shepherd is not there, sheep tend to really show themselves. And they start to try to exhibit a pecking order to see which one is the most important when the shepherd is not there. It's kind of funny with sometimes when the pastor leaves town. Things that you never see at other times, you see them when the pastor is not in church. And everybody say amen. Amen. Isn't that odd? Something happens to the pastor, he drops dead in the pulpit. Hallelujah. People that have been real meek and just sweet. And I'm going to tell you, people will show themselves when there's no shepherd. Hallelujah. But thank God for sweet shepherds like me. Hallelujah. And so, you got to be free from fear. You got to be free from tension. The third thing, you've got to be free from aggravation. We talked about flies, and we talked about all kinds of parasites that cause problems to where sheep cannot relax and be comfortable. So it is the responsibility of the shepherd to make sure that these things that would annoy the sheep are put aside. And then the last thing is hunger. Sheep will not lay down and be comfortable as long as there is hunger. When they're satisfied, when the green pasture has satisfied them, then they are able to lie down in these green pastures. He leading me beside the still waters. Places where sheep are raised are in arid, semi-desert, and some desert areas in our world. There must be water in these dry places. And so we found out that one way that sheep get the fluids that they need is in early morning feeding while there's still dewdrops on the vines. They can eat, and actually, when the dew is heavy, sheep can go literally months without going to a water hole and drinking. Getting up early and feeding early before the hot sun evaporates the dewdrops. Another way that water is provided is by the hands of the shepherd. He cuts out cisterns that when it does rain, it will catch water. He also finds places even in desert areas where there are hidden fountains. Some of them are artesian wells. The shepherd has got to closely search. People have died of thirst in deserts because they didn't know that there was a fountain flowing maybe just feet away from them, sometimes hidden by all kinds of bushes. But the real shepherd, he goes ahead and he checks these things out. And he learns to find where the water holes are at. He leadeth me beside still waters. They cannot, they are so timid and afraid, they cannot drink from rushing streams. He restoreth my soul. We talked about sheep falling over on their back and not being able to get off their back because of the heaviness of their wool, and because maybe there's a little indention in the ground, and they go to lay down and they roll over on their back. And there's times that sheep cannot get up by themselves. They will literally die in that position. They get to where the heart and the oxygen is not working right, and they drown in their own fluids unless the shepherd finds them. Many times they will be found in a situation and place where they have to be rejuvenated. They have to get up off their back, and they have to massage their legs and their shoulders and get the blood to flowing again. It is a race between the shepherd and the predator when a sheep becomes what is known as a cast sheep. Hallelujah. And so all of these have spiritual meanings. There's times in all of our lives when we cannot make it by ourselves. Don't think that you're the Lone Ranger and you don't need the church and you don't need the saints of God and you don't need fellowship. Every one of us needs a church that will feed us and provide for us. Hallelujah. Church don't need to be full of tension. A church don't need to be full of divisive things. Hallelujah. And when we see somebody that looks like they're at the point of dying, we don't need to finish them off. This is a hospital. This is a place to get help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he restoreth my soul. Jesus was crushed beneath the weight of the cross to where he literally could not get up. He allowed himself to become vulnerable. He allowed himself to be 100% mankind. And after he was beat with an inch of his life and had lost so much blood, and they put that cross on his shoulders, he went as far as he could physically go and collapsed. God Almighty allowed it to happen so he could teach us a lesson. There's times that all of us get to a place we can't go any further unless somebody helps us. And especially the shepherd helps us. I thank God for the times in my life that I've been a cast sheep. And all of a sudden somebody found me. That's right. This is a soul-saving station. We want everybody to go to heaven. God wants everybody to go to heaven. That's the reason the Bible says, go ye into all the world, not just a certain class of people, not just a certain nationalities. I want you to go to all the world. Those that are up and those that are down, those that are clean and those that are dirty. This is a place where God will help you. He loves you. Oh, I feel that tonight. Hallelujah. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me in the right paths. Have you ever been disoriented where you thought the right path was the wrong path? The right direction was the wrong direction. You talk about something playing with your mind where you get all turned around. But the Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord. Lean not into thine own understanding. You can't trust your mind, your human mind. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We found out that there's times that we walk through dark places. We never know how to appreciate the mountaintops. It wasn't for the valleys. We found out that it is through valleys that people get to mountaintops. It is through the lower valleys in the foothills and on to the top. If you get on the top of the mountain, you get there through valleys. Don't allow these things to make you feel like that, you know, well, something's wrong with me. And why am I going through all this? God's always got a purpose. Hallelujah. Valleys lead to mountaintops. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We studied about how the rod is that sharp, sharp piece of wood that becomes very familiar with a shepherd. It becomes a very dangerous weapon against the predator. It is something also that the sheep, when they come in at night, they've got to pass under the rod. The rod will show if there's parasites. The rod will show if there's broken places, maybe where there's been an injury and the sheep, the shepherd don't know anything about it. He takes the rod and he pulls the heavy fleece up to check and make sure that everything's all right as each shepherd, each sheep goes into the fold for the night. It speaks of the word of God. How many wants the word of the Lord to measure you and to challenge you and to open your eyes and let you see rightly when you're not seeing rightly? The word of the Lord is our friend. The word of the Lord is the best thing that's ever happened to us. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord is the final court of appeal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord is a sure word of prophecy. Let people prophesy. Let people say what they think they saw and what they think about a certain. But I want to tell you, the bottom line is that the Bible is the rule. The Bible. Hallelujah. It is that right word. Hallelujah. And then the staff signifies the preciousness of God's presence. When we fall off somewhere and, you know, sheep are known to fall into crevices and fall, you know, to climb down a hill to eat grass and can't get back up. And it's the staff that reaches out in love and mercy and pulls them out of the situations that they are in. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah. The shepherd leaves the sheep for a time and goes above in the tableland and finds places where there's grass and finds places where there's running little streams of water. He checks to see if there's any kind of poisonous plants. He checks to see for the footprints of the predator. And he literally prepares a table in the presence of his enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Parasites and nose flies that plant little eggs in the nose of the sheep, and they hatch and they become like worms that will go to the very brain and run a sheep crazy, bashing their heads against rocks. You know what stops that? The anointing. The anointing. I want to tell you, if we don't get anointed once in a while, we're going to start thinking some crazy, crazy, crazy things. We'll think we can do things better than God does them. But I thank God for the anointing. He anointeth my head with oil. Hallelujah, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. We finally got there now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The surely of this statement is predicated on the validity of the first statement of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. If goodness and mercy is going to follow us, it's going to be because we have submitted to that all-sufficient one, that there's no want in him. There's no lacking in him. I'm going to tell you, you start trying to figure your own problems out and you're going to be lacking. If you submit everything to God, you desperately, 100% submit yourself to God, good things are going to start following you. Surely, that's a very certain statement, assertion to make. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, if this first statement is not true, then nothing in this psalm is true. But I want to tell you, sheep learn to find confidence in this because of who the shepherd is. Hallelujah. As a result of what the shepherd has been in the past, hallelujah, the result of him being your manager, you start seeing the sunshine and the darkest of hours. Hallelujah. Good things start happening to you. Hallelujah. It's a result of the truthfulness that the Lord is my shepherd. Surely, without a doubt, certainly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to tell you, there is no voice that speaks with such certainty as the voice of experience. A person can surmise, a person can try to figure out situations in life. You can speculate, you can predict about the goodness of the Lord. But I want to tell you, even after you have seen it take place in the lives of other people that have been directed and delivered and pulled through, there is nothing as convincing as a personal experience yourself. Hello, you can look around, you can see the blessings of people in the church. You can see people that had nothing when they got in the church and God began to work on them and to restore them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, God promised us he would provide our needs according to his riches that are in glory. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, you can sit around and you can surmise and you can see it all. And then if you're not careful, you'll say, well, you know, that's for them, but it's not for me. Or, you know, it don't work for me like it works for other people. It'll work for you if you'll do what's right. It'll work for you if you'll surrender everything to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to tell you, there's people sitting right here tonight and people that come in our services, they don't know anything about it. Hallelujah. You need to listen up, and if it's in the Bible, believe it and obey it, and things will start getting better. Quit trying to find another route. Quit trying to find an easier route. Hallelujah. Quit trying to devote yourself to the God of heaven and then do whatever you want to do with the other half. God help me tonight. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's nothing as convincing as a personal experience. Psalms 34 and verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You ain't really got a lot of right to talk about it if you've never tasted it. Hallelujah. And if you quit tasting it and go on your own again, all that bitterness and disappointment and whatever it is comes back on you again. You know, this is not really hard to understand. Nothing is convincing as personal testimony. I've told this story a few times of being in the woods in Mississippi with a preacher, hunting. And a bunch of quail started flying up. You know, the dog had them on point, and psh, here they went. And two of them one of them just decided to turn around and fly right toward me, right over my head. And the preacher turned around with a 12-gauge shotgun, and boom, shot me right in the face. 32 holes right here. Hole right through this eyelid here. Never found out where the bullet went. Did all kinds of x-rays. Could not find out. Now, we got some bullets up here in this hard head of mine. But I had a hole and couldn't find a shot. Hallelujah. Eyes full of blood. I had this eye injured when I was a child. God healed me. Doctor told me I got 20/20 vision in that eye now. Hallelujah. And so, anyway, I saw the shadow of the valley of death. Valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. They convinced me I was going to die screaming. Him and another, he was the most, there's another preacher with him, but he started screaming, "My God, my God, my God, don't let him die, Lord." And so I heard the angels singing and the bells ringing. Hallelujah. But I didn't die. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, it was a testimony to me. Hallelujah. You got faith living inside of you. You don't even know what it is. Hallelujah. You know what you have? You know how much faith? You got faith for today. You say, "Well, I just don't know if I'm sick enough to die. I just don't know." Well, I want to tell you, you don't need faith for tomorrow, whenever it is you're going to die. Hallelujah. When you need it, it's going to be there. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord told me. And there's nothing like tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. But I'll tell you this, that story don't do near as much for you as it does for me. But sometimes we have to go through some things for God to show us, for us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. A lot of times we want the making, but we don't want the breaking. Hallelujah. We want a testimony without a test. You can't have testimony without a test. We want wonderful healing without ever being sick. Hallelujah. We'd like to have a resurrection, but who wants to die? We want to see a calming of a storm, but we don't want a storm. But I want to tell you, these sheep in this psalm, they're finishing the full circle. It represents a whole year, starting at ground level at the sheep ranch and making their way in the early springtime. The ice is still melting on the mountains, and they start gradually making themselves, hallelujah, through the green pastures and the still waters and the valleys. And they go all the way to the tableland, and they spend time there, and then they head back down. And finally, it's surely goodness and mercy followed me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. It's because of such a personal experience that David boldly declared, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's get it on the screen tonight. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those which are in any trouble." We go through it so somebody else can follow us. "By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Verse 5, "For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." In other words, this suffering, it's abounding that we can have consolation, that we can have comfort. Hallelujah. Aboundeth by Christ. "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation." People actually go through things to show other people, "which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, to have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, a cast sheep, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death with us," or in ourselves, "that we should not trust in ourselves," the shepherd, "but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivereth us from so great a death and doth deliver. Delivers and doth deliver. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And so in this cycle, he has delivered us. He is delivering us. He shall deliver us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of your fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We all go through the same stuff. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed. Everybody say followed. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You pull your stakes up, you go a little further, and when you drive them down again, the angel of the Lord is there to encamp about you. The great consolation that in any situation, goodness and mercy is going to be following us. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, of them that are the called according to his purpose. What in the world can the devil do to people who have such confidence in the shepherd? What can the devil do to you when you know that everything's going to be all right? You've already read the back of the book. You've got a consolation. You've seen what the shepherd has done in the past. There's nothing that catches him by surprise. We all know the story of the three Hebrew children and how that there were three Hebrew boys that was determined that while everybody else bowed down to the graven image, they would not bow down to the graven image. They had a confidence in the one that they were following, their shepherd. Hallelujah, chapter 14 of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time ye shall hear the sound of the cornet and flute and harp and sackbut and psaltery and dulcimer and all these music, all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, I'm going to give you another chance. You bow down to them, then everything's going to be well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Hallelujah. We know that our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hands. You know, it doesn't matter how it plays out. Goodness and mercy is going to follow us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, it's kind of funny how he keeps rubbing it in to this king's face. It's just something you built. It's just something you set up. And it don't matter what happens. Everything's going to be good. Can we get that revelation as apostolic Pentecostals tonight? You're sitting here, you got the Holy Ghost, you've repented, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're living a holy life. Hallelujah. The Lord is your shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How do you handle somebody that's got that kind of confidence about how it's all going to end? Hallelujah. Philippians 1 and 21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Can you beat that? Can anybody here beat an offer like that?
Whatever happens, goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Like one bad guy said, you just can't lose with the stuff I use. Hallelujah. Vine's dictionary, Bible dictionary, says this word follow. It appears 135 times. This word follow in the Hebrew, I want you to listen, is mostly used as a military term. Follow is mostly used throughout the Bible as a military term, which means to pursue or to overtake. Pursue or overtake. Goodness and mercy shall pursue you and overtake you. You don't have to work at it. You're doing what you need to do. You're looking to Jesus. You got something chasing you. You got something pursuing you. It's more than just a follow alone. Hallelujah. Goodness is mercy. You're not going to outrun them if you're doing what's right. It may be in a dark valley somewhere. It may be you're going through a fire trial somewhere. But goodness and mercy is going to pursue you. We don't have to get wrapped up in a career. Hallelujah. Quit chasing it and let it chase you. Quit spending all your time worrying about getting ahead and just let mercy and goodness overtake you. Hallelujah. The first time this word is used is in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. That's the word we're dealing with. Hallelujah. Because sheep have got a natural tendency to wander, I wonder how often goodness and mercy goes hunting around here for one lost sheep. Don't you let the devil sell you a bill that it's all over with. It's over with. Might as well stick a gun to my head. You're crazy. Just get under the care of the shepherd. And goodness and mercy will hunt you down. Hunt you down. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, God don't give up easy, does he? God does not give up easy. He's calling some people here tonight. I'm going to tell you again that scripture. It just came to me about, you know, agree quickly with thine adversary. Hallelujah. When the devil starts trying to blame things on you and accuse you, don't start trying to justify yourself. Just say, you know what? I know I've made mistakes in my past. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about it because I've given it to Jesus. You're not going to engage me in some kind of warfare. You're not going to engage me. You can get your hands and your face dirty if you want to. You know what? I don't have anything to worry about. I'm not gonna answer any of that. I'm gonna pursue the shepherd. Whatever the shepherd tells me to do, that's what I'm gonna do. Now, if the shepherd decides to take care of the situation, he can do it. But I want to tell you, whatever happens, goodness and mercy is gonna follow me because it's a promise. It's a promise in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's a promise in this psalm. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many, many years ago in the 1900s, I used to do a little bit of coon hunting. Coon hunting. Not because I was a coon hunter. I just have to be preaching in a revival in a place in Arkansas. And boy, this guy was hung up on coon hounds. I mean, he was offered, I'm not going to give a figure. It was just out of sight. I tell you what, it's thousands of dollars. It's supposed to have been the best around. Coon dog. Man, they tried to bite off of him. They couldn't, nobody could bite off of him. And then the dog died. Tell you what, it's the first time he ever done that. But anyway, hallelujah. They took me coon hunting. And I went two or three times, you know, stumbling around in the dark, you know, sitting there waiting for a dog to start baying, you know. And they take off through the woods like they want to go to California or something. Get way out there somewhere, and all you hear is just a faint bark. Oh, he's treated. Here we go through the woods. And I tell you, it didn't take me very long to fall out of love with that. Sometimes it was an all-night deal because they loved them dogs. They wasn't going to leave those dogs. It didn't matter how many county lines they crossed. They was going to follow them. I was wanting to go home, but I couldn't find my way home. I was forced. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, the hounds of hell's after some people. I preached about it. They're after people right here tonight. They want to overtake you. They want you to get all of your focus and your attention on them. How many has ever heard the baying of the past? Some hound trying to remind you of the mistakes you made. And there's people, they lay in bed at night, hours, and all they can hear is the barking and the baying. And you know what? The devil's got his hounds that he wants them to surround you and to get your attention off of everything God wants to do. I want to introduce you to the hounds of heaven tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to sit up and listen to me for a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, it's hard to get away from heaven when you've had it. It's hard to get away from God when you've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's hard to forget the good times in your life when you didn't have any condemnation whatsoever. The greatest times of any of our lives is in the presence of the Lord. For in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand is pleasure forevermore. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want to preach a little bit tonight before I give an altar call. That there's some good things that are trying to hunt you down. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. Shall hunt you down, shall pursue you. You listen to this in Psalms 139 and verse 7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit? Where in the world can I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence? That's right. It's one of those hounds from heaven. Hallelujah. This guy realized, hey, where in the world can I go to get away from this? That's speaking to me of higher things. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the accuser of the brethren. Don't think it's God that gives you no hope. He may make you feel bad for a while, but he always attaches hope to it. Verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. You know, there's people always wanting to take the wings of the morning. Boy, if I could just fly away. You don't need to fly away. You need to sit still until the goodness of God overtakes you. Hallelujah. Or I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me. You're in a mess. You've been running from God. And yet you think you're off somewhere now. I'm away from it. And you feel somebody holding your hand and you look. And it's the Lord holding your hand, because it's not his will that any perish. It's his will that all men come to repentance. And repentance is not a dirty word. It is a beautiful word. Oh, it's a beautiful word. To be able to bring it to Jesus and say, here it is, God. Forgive me of the way I've been. Forgive me of what I've done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That right hand of power. I'm going to hold you. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Have you ever tried to find a hiding place and in the midst of all you could do, God still flipped the light on? Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God can see you in the dark, and God can see you in the light. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. God, you've had your hand on directing me. And even when I was in the womb, you had me covered. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance is not hid from thee. Yet I was made in secret and carelessly wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written. In thy book all my members were written. Which is continuance. Were fashioned. In continuance were fashioned. When as yet there is none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts upon me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God's got precious thoughts for every person that's in this building tonight. Precious thoughts. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. I'm talking about his thoughts towards you. When I awake, I am still with thee. When I'm awake, the nightmare's over or whatever, you'll find out that I'm still with you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days means every day. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You know, there's people that say, you know, I just feel like God's looking for an excuse to kill me. That's a foolish statement to make. When the Bible says the Lord's mercies, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's God's mercies, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Even when it's not on the screen, they are renewed. Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't the Lord faithful? Isn't the Lord good?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Matthew 28 and 20, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, if God is with us forever, don't you agree that goodness and mercy's got to be there? The last verse, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. My shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now this is saying there's going to be some rough times. There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some times that you're going to be weary and well doing. There's going to be times climbing that mountain back to that table and then going through the process again in another year. But he said, I've given you some iron shoes to keep wearing. That's never going to wear out. And I just want to promise you this, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, whatever you need at whatever time of life, it's going to be there for you. If it's still water, if it's green grass, if it's the valley of the shadow of death, if it's the table spread, if it's the anointing time, whatever it is, it's going to be enough. Because goodness and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our life. I want us to stand tonight. Well, I've been serving notice on y'all, just a little report that for several weeks now, getting phone calls in the night, got phone calls last night, screaming, hollering, backsliders out of this church, tormented people. That's right. Just things never quite get together. They just never come together. We got some people here tonight. That's where it's at right now. Because you won't allow Jesus Christ to be your shepherd. Nothing ever works out for you. That's right. You know, it's time for a showdown. It's time to make up in your mind. All this chaos, all this problems, everything runs short. Can't hardly survive. Fighting and troubling and arguing in the home and the family. Oh yeah, we got parents and children threaten each other to shoot them. Just stupid stuff. And the answer's here tonight. Goodness and mercy is hunting you. That's right. It's saying, hey, this is where it's at. This is where the answer is. I'm tired of living the way I'm living. Beat up, slapped around. One of these days, they're gonna end up dead. But don't have to be that way. I'm gonna tell you, every one of us, we need to check all over again. Is Jesus really my shepherd or not? Does he really call the shots or not? People make major decisions and never ask Jesus or the pastor. They just do it. And then they get into so much trouble. Some of them are long enough away that they lose all their kids. Some of them lose their own soul. But I want to tell you, goodness and mercy is hunting you tonight. I want you to bow your heads. You think about the difference between an old hound from hell, like a bloodhound barking in the night. The difference between that sound and the cause of heaven that are so full of mercy and love and kindness, goodness. Why don't you come? Why don't you bring it to the altar tonight? Come on. You know what? It'd give us all more relief if you do it. That's right. It'd give the church more peace if you'd let these things catch up with you. God, here I am, Lord. I've got to have a change. I've got to have help from you, Lord. Hallelujah. They're coming tonight, church. There's people coming tonight that needs help. Anybody feel like being an altar worker? Hallelujah. Before the rest get here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and help us. Hallelujah. Some of you is here, you need to make a move. You can find a place here to pray. Hallelujah. If you have to, grab somebody and say, help me pray tonight. Help me pray tonight. Can't go any further. It's affecting your children. Does that matter to you? It's affecting your children. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But Jesus is telling you in sweet tones that he loves you. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Oh, God, do something tonight, Lord, to silence. Silence the hounds of hell, Lord. Do something tonight to give somebody hope. God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh Jesus, yes. Trust Jesus, trust Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus, come on and give it to Jesus tonight. Give it to Jesus. I surrender, Lord.